Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you have preserved it. We pray that you would help us to read, mark, learn, inwardly digest these words. We pray that we'd see much of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we'd take refuge in him afresh. Thank you that he is our great Savior. Help us to see him clearly for our good and his glory. Amen. Amen. You know as well as I do that the temptation to abandon and to abdicate our responsibilities in life is very strong. For many people, maybe that is you today, life is brutal. It is relentlessly demanding. It is desperately draining. And the pressure is constantly overwhelming. The future forecast doesn't look any brighter. And so therefore, as a result, there is a strong desire to escape, to run from our daily experiences and from our regular responsibilities. Now, that expresses itself in different people's lives in different ways. For some, it's the weekend getaway. For others, it's the frequent holidays. For others, it's the next experience, whatever that is, that will mask the pain. For other people, it's gaming all the time, TV, exercise, alcohol, pornography, endless scrolling on whatever social media app is your favorite, whatever it takes to retreat from reality. See, we used to talk about finding ourselves. You remember that little thing? I want to find myself. But increasingly, a number of people would rather lose themselves. Lose themselves in whatever brings relief from the constant pressure. You see, we know that our responsibilities in life, they require effort, sacrifice, commitment. And that means when we are stressed out, the temptation is to run, to abdicate the responsibilities, whether that's as a dad, a mom, an employee, a relative, a neighbor, or a friend. And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not assuming everybody in this room is, but if you are, we are not immune from that getaway mindset, are we? In fact, I think our challenges are greater. You see, not only do we exist with everybody else in a broken world, but we are also enlisted by the King of Kings, by Jesus Christ, to his mission. And therefore, there are other responsibilities as we build his eternal kingdom. It is a privilege. It is a means of great joy. It really, really is. But as an active member of the spiritual team of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, there is dedication, sacrifice, commitment. And that means if you are a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will face the temptation to run away from any of your responsibilities. Now, Psalm 11 will help us remain steady. Steady in a world that encourages us to run away, whatever our area of service is in the church of God. And you will not leave this place, I pray and I hope, overwhelmed with guilt. But actually, as you see Jesus afresh, you will be given fresh, grace-filled reasons to stay. It's written by King David. You see that in the heading. But it is ultimately, if you were here yesterday, you'd have heard me say this, it is ultimately about King Jesus. But for those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ, these words have much to teach us. So there are two sections I'm going to highlight, verses 1 to 3. These are all the reasons to run away, and they might impact your emotions. Okay? And then we're given the reasons to stay put, the reasons to remain. So first, let's ponder the reasons to run. Look at verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, the headline statement from King David takes us to his inner confidence in the midst of a raging crisis. What does he say? In the Lord, I take refuge. His circumstances are bleak. They are. Chaos is all around him. However, King David knows there is a safe place that will always, always remain steady and certain. What is it? He knows that his life is in the hands of God. And the God of whom his life is in his hands is a God who is good, a God who is powerful, and a God who is wise. And it is that conviction, that it is that God who controls my life, that enables him to stay at his post when all around him are encouraging him to desert his responsibility. Or in the words of verse 2, his friends, and it's his friends who are advising him to flee like a bird. What an image! Fly away! It's not his enemies who are saying that. These are words that come from the mouths of those who care about him. I'm sure it was genuine, heartfelt, well-meaning advice. There was only one problem. It was completely wrong. It would have certainly kept David from danger, but only by him abandoning his God-given role. And I think that's at the heart of the issue here. It is the abdication of responsibility. It's not simply getting himself out of the way of danger. And why do I say that? Well, because at different times in King David's life, he did literally flee to the mountains, didn't he? And on those occasions, it was exactly the right thing to do, but not in Psalm 11. See, David's temptation here is not simply to get out of the way of danger, but to run away once and for all from his role as king. So this is not about seeking a temporary reprieve in order to come back. His friends are saying to him, "This is it, mate. This is time to give up entirely." And to his well-meaning advisors, abdication seems like the only option. Listen again to what they say. "For behold, the wicked bend their bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" See, there are two aspects here, two danger points. First, there are real people determined to end the king's life. The picture language here is that they're already bending their bows to shoot. And where are they going to shoot from? Not in the open where everybody can see them. Not in the bright lights when the floodlights are on them. They're going to shoot from the dark, from the shadows. You see the temptation to run? But not only is there real people out there trying to end his life, the second aspect is the ethical foundations of the kingdom seem completely broken. It appears as if the theological and the moral foundations of God's kingdom have been dug up, spat out, and replaced with chaotic nonsense. And in the light of all those things, David's friends say, "What is the point? What is the point of staying put? It is game over. You play chess, this is checkmate. There's no way back. Nothing can be done apart from running away. It is time to give up." And King David replies, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay at my post. I'm the king, God's appointed king. I'm going to remain where I am. I will seek refuge in the Lord. It will be painful, it will be costly, but out of love for my people, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stick at my role and serve them with all of my heart." Now, as I said before, this psalm ultimately finds its meaning in the life of King Jesus. King Jesus is King David's greater son. He is the one who perfectly lives out the script that we find in a psalm like this. So let's ask the question, when was King Jesus tempted to flee to the mountains? Or more precisely, when was Jesus tempted to abandon his role as his father's appointed king and savior? I could take you to many places, but listen to this conversation, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And you know what happens next? Peter, one of the 12, one of the disciples says this. he took him aside and began to rebuke him. You see how outrageous this is? Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And Peter says, no, King of Kings, I'm going to take you aside. I've got something to say to you. You are an idiot. You don't do that to the King of Kings. But he does. And Peter says, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. What are the things of men? Flee like a bird to the mountains. Do not travel the road of suffering and pain. Go. But Jesus kept going. So what kept Jesus going and committed to his mission of being suffering Savior King? Well, he took refuge in his Father. That's what you discover in Psalm 11. He trusted in the plan of his all-wise, all-good, all-powerful Father. Amazing. And what about us? If you've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how does this cash out for us? If you are a Christian, you are invited to join the greatest building project our world has ever seen. Now, you know as well as I do, the world is full of impressive architectural developments. What's your favorite? Think of the Great Walls of China. That's impressive. Think about the ancient pyramids of Egypt. Or if you want a modern example, Google it later. Don't do it now because you'll just not listen to me. But go to the Marina Bay Sands Hotel in Singapore. It sends you a big ship. Oh, that's amazing. Now, do not look at it now, but it is impressive. There are many buildings, probably even around Sheffield, not so much where I come from in Scarborough, that make you gasp in amazement. But nothing, absolutely nothing compares to being involved in building the kingdom of Jesus that will last forever. Think about this. Across human history around the world, billions of lives have been restored, rescued, redeemed by Jesus Christ as his people, in their weakness, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, speak the gospel to people. That is amazing. But here's the truth. We will face regular temptations to abandon our post and abdicate our responsibilities, whether you're part of the people of God or whether you're just about to be ordained as a presbyter. And the reason is because building the kingdom of Jesus requires time and sacrifice and commitment. Therefore, it is common to feel the desire to pull away from the front line. Do you not feel that pull in your life? With the prospect of more time for me, more calm, less stress. And that kind of advice can come from well-meaning Christian friends and family. My observation is that it is far less common today to hear Christians tell each other to throw themselves into the mission of Jesus with reckless abandon. When did anybody say that to you before? Go for it! Much more likely to say, oh, be careful. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Words of caution are critical for many people's situations. We are not superhuman creatures with unlimited resources. We are weak. We are fragile human beings. We need rest, refreshment, recuperation. I know that, and I say that to people, but that is not the same as abandoning our mission responsibilities. And the temptation to do that is even stronger when we become disillusioned as Christians about the outcome of our Christian service. Or to put it frankly, we start asking the question, what is the point of me continuing to do what I'm doing? That can happen for many reasons. Sometimes it's an expectation that spiritual growth will be quick and that revival is always just round the corner. Where I live, on the coast, a frequent message you hear is that the revival is going to come up the East Coast and the fire will come up the river. People have been saying that for decades and decades and decades. And you can see the people that are just not believing it's going to happen. They become disappointed, disillusioned, discouraged. Or maybe you just become despondent about the enormity of the task. Isn't it wonderful to see a room like this full of people learning about the Lord Jesus Christ? But you look out of the window at the thousands of people in the city who are not remotely interested in Jesus, and you think, how are we going to reach them? It seems such an amazing big task. Or maybe you get downcast because of the moral foundations that are shifting in our nation. What are we going to do? What is the point? What can little old me do in this continuing mission as I live out and speak out the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is in Psalm 11. In Jesus Christ, you can say, it is time to seek fresh refuge in the Lord. The only way to stay in position, continue as passionate soldiers of Christ. So not just soldiers of Christ. Do you not want to go through your life and be a passionate soldier of Christ until you see your commander-in-chief and he says, well done. I want to be a passionate soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do it? Only by seeking refuge in the Lord. So why is that such wise course of action? You've heard the reasons to run. The answer is to seek refuge in the Lord. But why is seeking refuge in him the wise course of action? Well, let me finish by showing you the reasons to stay. So verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Three motivational truths. Okay, God is ruling his universe. God is watching his creatures, and God will act decisively. Here are the reasons to stay. First, God is ruling the universe. You need to know this. In a battered, bruised, broken world, here is the truth you've got to know and believe. Chaos is all around us, so it seems. But the truth is, there is a heavenly control room, and there is a someone sitting on the throne. God is ruling the universe. Don't you love those two words beginning with H? We're reminded that God is in his holy temple and the Lord's throne is where? In heaven. Now, it doesn't mean he's far away and he doesn't care. He does care. It just means he's in the position to do something about it. Together, they emphasize God's complete power, his complete commitment to what is right and good. So there's your question. Why should you remain in a place which is hard, tough, and draining? Why not go spiritual AWOL? Because God is ruling his universe. Now that is a tremendous help for King Jesus as he battled to remain on the road to Jerusalem when every temptation was to come off the slip road. It was fierce. It was inviting. But he kept going, and you want him to keep going because he's going to go to the cross to die for us. What keeps him going? He knows his holy Father is in heaven. He has a plan and a purpose that has been worked out in the midst of all the pain. And brothers and sisters, that can help us as well. I don't know what thoughts are currently spinning through your head, but log that one. God is ruling the universe. Two, God is watching his creatures. We're told in verse 4 that God sees everyone on earth and his eyes test the children of men. I don't know, do you like that truth? It's kind of both uncomfortable and comforting, isn't it? It's really uncomfortable because we don't like people seeing what we're up to. Why do you think internet companies created the incognito tab on your browser? So you could do dark things and no one would see you? God sees you. God sees everything we do. We know that there are many things in our lives that are wrong and fill us with shame. But God has a right to watch because he is the creator and we are his creatures. So it's slightly uncomfortable, but it's also comfortable because it means that God takes an interest in our lives. He knows the decisions we make and the stand we take. Some of you work for bosses, and you don't have to name them out loud, but bosses that are completely hopeless, aren't they? They never notice what you do. They never care about your activities. They are completely hopeless. God isn't like that. God sees everyone on earth. Now in verse 5, we're told that he doesn't just watch the righteous, but he tests them. The word test comes from that world of refining, precious metals. You know, materials like gold and silver that are exposed to heat in order to remove the impurities, and which results in us knowing exactly what they're made of. Well, God is doing that in the lives of his righteous ones, those who are righteous by faith in Christ. Now, the first righteous one ever was King Jesus. Now, he didn't need any imperfections removed, but through his life, as the pressure was applied, we see again and again what Jesus Christ was made of. And let me say this to you, it is wonderfully beautiful. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I need someone who's good at catching something. Yes? No, you've got to stay where you are. Okay? So, I'd like to catch this, yeah? Sure? Throw it nicely. Have you ever heard of Scottish cricket? No, we have no idea. We're rubbish. So, I'm going to throw it to you. Ready? Do you think she'll do it?
Yes.
Any doubters? Yeah, one there. Okay. You ready? Go. Right. Throw back. Okay. You ready for round two? Okay. Right. You ready? Oh, you want to? You don't want me to throw this at you because you know what's going to happen. What's going to happen if I throw it? Yeah? Water's going to go everywhere, yeah? So, if I throw this bottle at you and the water goes everywhere, why does the water go everywhere? Okay, so it's open and because I threw it. Is that why the water goes everywhere? That's one reason, isn't it? Another reason the water will go everywhere is because what's in the bottle? Water. And what's on the inside will come out. In situations of pressure, sometimes people say, that isn't the real me. Yeah, it is. Because when pressure is applied, what is on the inside comes out. All through our life, God is examining us. We're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wants to change us and transform us. But sometimes we're not even aware of how much progress needs to be done. So it comes out, we go, but we're safe in Christ. But then his Holy Spirit continues to change us. God is at work. Jesus was exposed. His utter perfection was seen. And because of him, we are safe. You have a righteous status in Christ, but God wants us to become more righteous in practice. It is the language of refinement. God so loves us that the impurities will be revealed, but not just revealed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he will remove them one by one. Last of all, God will act decisively. Verse 6, let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Here's a question for you, and it's not just a question for the Christians, because if you're not a follower of Christ, this is going to be very, very important for you. It might even be the most important question you've ever been asked. Where will you be in 1,000 years' time? Not where you're going to be in 10 years' time, 100 years' time, if you make it to 100, maybe some of the kids might. 1,000 years' time, where are you going to be? That's what ultimately matters, isn't it? I want to make decisions now based on where I'm going to be in 1,000 years' time. Everyone lives forever. The only question is where. And these verses remind us there are two eternal possibilities. There is eternal judgment. There is eternal pleasure. And for those not protected by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the prospect of painful, everlasting damnation. That's what it says. But by contrast, those who are found righteous in Christ will dwell in close proximity to the God of joy and love. We will behold his face. And those are powerful motivations to stay at your post and continue the mission that God has called us to be involved in. For Jesus, that future reality kept him en route to the cross. See, Jesus Christ loves you so much that he went to suffer the fiery coals so that everyone who trusts in him will never have to. He kept going out of love. Instead, we can enjoy that same relationship he does with his Father. And for us, that future reality should help us to stay committed to our mission together. Why is that? Because people need saving. If you are in this church today and you are not yet a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus says to you through my little voice is, come to me today. Find refuge in me. Be righteous because of me. And you can do that. Say, I'm sorry for how I've lived. Today I commit my life to you. And from this day forward, I want to follow you. You could pray that today. I'd love to pray that with you. Make today the day you step over into the kingdom of Christ. And for those of us who are, if we don't believe that people need saving, then I think we stop trying to do difficult things. But when you remember, what is the prospect of the next 1,000 years and those two eternal destinies that await us? It helps us to prioritize what really matters. We won't do all the same things. You don't have to. We're part of a team. But here's the truth. Nothing we ever do for Christ is ever in vain. Amen. Take a brief moment, then I'll lead us in prayer. What has God said to you today? Father, we thank you for your mercy. Continue to help us to look to Christ. Pray for those in this room today who have yet to seek refuge in the Lord Jesus. Work in their hearts, I pray. Draw them to Christ. And Father, for us, we rejoice that Jesus stayed at his post. Help us by the power of your Spirit to remember the reasons to stay put so that in the next 1,000 years, 10,000 years, the next eternity, we will enjoy staring, gazing in the presence of Christ at his glory forever and ever. Amen. We now come to the point in our service